ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 सो टुडे वी रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 Chapter 29, entitled Talks Between Narada and King Prachinyabhadra. Text number 58. Karmani Arbhatena.
Karmani Arbhatena.
Karmani Arbhatena. Karmani,
Karmani,
fruitive activities,
Arabhate,
begins to perform, Ena,
by which
Puman,
a living entity,
Iha, in this life,
Vihaya,
giving up,
Tam,
that, Amutra,
in
the next life,
Anena,
Another.
Dehina.
By a body.
Jastani.
The results. Sa. E.
Yet.
Ta. Astun. Asmute. Enjoys.
Enjoys.
Translation by Divine Vishala Prabhupada. The results of whatever a living entity does in this life or enjoy in the next life. So it's a very short translation. So all of us can read them. Because so far you're seeing big translations. The results of whatever a living entity does in this life. Or enjoy in the next life. So we read the purport, which is also relatively short. A person generally does not know how one body is linked with another body. How is it possible that one suffers or enjoys the results of activities in this body, in yet another body in the next life? This is a question the king wants Narada Muni to answer. How may one have a human body in this life and not have a human body in the next? Even great philosophers and scientists cannot account for the transfer of karma from one body to another. As we experience every individual soul as an individual body, and one person's activity or one body's activities are not enjoyed or suffered by another body or another person. The question is, how the activities of one body are transferred, or suffered or enjoyed in the next. So, the last sentence again I read. The question is, how the activities of one body are suffered or enjoyed in the next. Om Agyan Timurandasya Jnana Jana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Enam Tasmai Shri Guruve Sri Chaitanya Manobhisam Sthapitamena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamakim Tadati Sva Padamukam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna
Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Hare
Hare Krishna. So, in this series of chapters, we see that Narada Muni was answering. Right? Narada Muni was basically talking from chapter 25 onwards. Now, the last three verses, of the last, actually three verses, only Prachinya Bharat is asking a question, which is text number 57, 58, and 59. These are the three texts he's asking, answering, basically he's talking. So this is one of the words which Prachinya Bharat has been asking or talking to Narada Muni. Very quickly, you know, we'll see what the previous verse was. My dear Brahmana, which Prachinya Bharat is talking to Narada Muni, there are contradictions between your instruction and those of my spiritual master, my spiritual teachers who engaged me in fruitive activities. I now can understand the distinction between devotion service, knowledge and renunciation. I had some doubts about them, but you have now very kindly dissipated all these doubts. I can now understand how even the great sages are bewildered by the real purpose of life. Of course, there is no question of sense gratification. So, to some degree, Prachinya Bharat has understood that, of course, there is no sense gratification. But, he has again raised a further question, that how a person, right, in one body, if he does any activity, how it is enjoyed or suffered by the same person in another body. He could not understand. Now, even in a normal day-to-day activity, we see that in a normal when a person like working in office and we have worked in office. In a normal day-to-day activity, we see that a person's salary is paid only after the month is over. Do they pay before? Sometimes they give an advance. But actually a person's salary is paid after the end of the month. Likewise, a monthly report or a sales report is done after the month is over. Right? So in the normal day-to-day life, we see that. How come one will not agree that one who does some activity in this life does not affect the next life? Because after the month is over, we get a salary. After the month is over, a sales report is done. So after a life is over, one more life. Isn't it? It's easy to understand in that way. But it is not easy also. On one hand, it's easy. But when you go outside and mingle with other people, it's not easy to understand. So we have to slowly go through the explanation. What it is. Okay. Now, in the material world, we are changing bodies. Yes, we are changing bodies. That's the proof that Krishna has been saying this in chapter 2, in many verses. There are fundamental two laws which makes this happen. Body change. Like a dress change, body change. Fundamental two laws. One is the, there could be many laws, but I'm talking about two main fundamental laws. One is the law of karma. Now, this word karma, we have to be very clear. Okay, there's a lot of meanings attributed to the karma. Karma means, normally in India they say work, you work. According to Bhagavad Gita, it is prescribed duties. That is karma. But normally, karma also means the reaction to one's work. So in this context, we are going to talk about reaction to one's work as karma. We are not talking about prescribed duties. Although, if one works, he gets a reaction. But normally, when I use karma, I mean the reaction of the work. So law of karma. So what one does in one's birth, it will produce results. As stated by Sir Isaac Newton. Sir Isaac Newton. Of course, he is to be respected. Because what did he say in the third Newton's law? His law? To every action, there is equal but opposite reaction. And reaction is there. For example, if I do like this, there is a sound, as well as my hand is also working little bit. Because it's giving a reaction back to me. You don't know, but I'm feeling it now. So there is a reaction process. So law of karma is there. Law of karma, if you do good activities, you get good results. If you do bad activities, obviously you are going to get bad results. That is law of karma. Karma, akarma, vikarma. Krishna explains further. All of us know. And the second one is, the major one is, law of transmigration. Whatever your consciousness is throughout your life, and whatever especially you think at the time of death, your next body is determined based on that. So, in one sense, we can say that we are already generating our next body. Is it correct in saying that? Our mind is generating. The subtle body is generating the gross. So, our mind is already generating the next body. The mind is the one that creates, you know, next body. So, our consciousness is very important. Based on the consciousness, you get the next body. If your consciousness is relatively the mode of goodness, that means very, very low sense gratification. The body is not engaged. Only the soul is engaged, basically. The mind and the soul, the mode of goodness. The body, Brahmanas are predominantly on the mode of goodness, which means that the sense enjoyment will be very, very minimum, least. Now, if you follow that lifestyle, you get a body which is based on a very mild, subtle body, which is the body of a demigod. So, in our philosophy, our consciousness is creating the body. The higher your consciousness, the more better body you get. If my consciousness is low, I get a grosser and grosser body. If my consciousness is subtler and subtler, I get subtler and subtler body. If your consciousness is a pure Krishna consciousness, completely pure, subtle, you get a spiritual body, which is very subtle. Whereas, if my consciousness is the mode of ignorance, complete sense enjoyment, for the eyes, movies, for the ear, this one, for the tongue, the cigarette, meat, and for the genital, for the hands, legs, football, all this, what will happen? You get end up with the animal body. So the consciousness has to be clear. This is our philosophy. The consciousness is going to lead into a next body. So the subtler the consciousness, the better the content. So in the mode of goodness, you get a demigod's body, which is very subtle, because the gross body is not much, you know. The gross and the subtle is also subtle. They can move through this door. Right? If I want to, see, in my case, I've got a gross body, I have to hit the door and I have to wait now sometime for people to come and open my door. It's not easy. Right? If I were a demigod, I can go through the, you know, through between the walls and come out. But gross body, I have to move this body and come in. And therefore, I could not do. But in the case of a demigod, the subtle body and the gross body is almost identical. You know? There's no weight on that body. So therefore, they can, if the door is closed, the demigod can go through the door. Subtle. Like how I know I can think beyond this room. Right? Now I can think how the outside door is, because my mind has gone out. In the same way, the body is also like that. They can go out. It's not gross. So depending upon the consciousness, you get a body. So these are the two principles which is governing our body, our changing bodies. What is that? Law of karma and law of reincarnation. Okay. This is on one side, material world. Now we are going to exactly the opposite side. We, as a spirit soul, in our original pure state, correct? Completely, I'm going to the other side now. We, as a spirit soul, completely, you know, in our original state of Krishna consciousness, or you can say original state as part of Krishna, we don't want to have to go through this transmigration. The soul does not need transmigration. You need not have to go through different bodies. But in the material world, we are transmigrating bodies. You think? As a spirit soul, you don't need a material body. The body is spiritual, you don't need it. But because we have got material desires, we are given a body. And why the material desire is coming? What is the root cause of that? Been explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita. The root cause is bahirmukh. You are showing your back towards Krishna. Krishna boli se jiva anadi bahirmukh. You are forgetting Krishna. And because you are forgetting Krishna, you are turning your back towards Krishna. And so what is the antidote? The antidote is samamukh. You see Krishna and you worship and do some service. As long as you turn your back, the material energy is going to give you bodies after bodies. That is the fundamental principle of Chaitanya Charitamrita. So in general, you can shorten the principle into two lines. What is the principle? If you act on the body, one more body. If you act on the soul, no more bodies. This is how it works. If I act on this body, I will get short one more body. But in this birth, if I act on the soul, no more bodies. This is what is Krishna consciousness is. But to act on the soul is not that easy. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada has brought this Krishna conscious movement where naturally, by engaging in this movement, you are acting on the soul. You may not have to separately, oh, I have to work on the soul, I have to work on the soul. Any activity you do here is acting on the soul. And therefore, all the activities governed or in Krishna, or in this movement, is acting on the soul. And therefore, no future bodies. In that principle, forget about Krishna consciousness. In that principle, if you act on the soul, no more body. If you act on the soul, no more bodies. If you act on the body, one more body. And again, that depends on the consciousness, as we discussed. Okay. So, because the soul wants to enjoy the material nature, a material body is given. And based on his desires, the Lord has created the material atmosphere. See the work he has done. He has not done a small thing. The material atmosphere is done with the help of the material energy. And one can exercise that free will, independence, whatever desire you want. So this word is certainty in uncertainty. You are thinking that there is something, but there is nothing. Certainty in certainty. So this is all happening because of the Lord's illusory energy in the form of mind. The mind is a product of the material energy. And the mind thinks. And the mind drives. Like, we all of us have got cars, you know. I've got a Toyota, someone has got BMW and all that. So, what Krishna has done is, Krishna has given our mind, which is known as a chariot of the mind. The mind is driving its own chariot. Each one of us has got our own car. So, we are driving chariot of the mind. What is that? Driving a karma. A karmi, a person who is doing karma kanda activities. Generally, you can say that is too high level. But in the materialistic, in terms of a modern man, materialist, what does he do? What is his aim? With his senses, he wants to work hard, accumulate more money. So, what is his thought? To enjoy and to be happy. In the terms of a modern man's thinking. So, he is thinking all the time, his chariot of mind. See, what is he thinking all the time? You go and talk to any of the, Prabhu maybe is knowing, any of the materialistic guys, always the plan is, somehow I want to do this course, this time management I finished, and now that will give me $20 extra. And now I'm going to work some other programming in India. I'm going, I learned this. Now, if I do that, now I become a SAP analyst and I'll get 120K. Right? All the time. Chariot. What is the chariot? How do I make money? Because the fundamental principle for them is if I have money, I'll be happy. I can get whatever I want. So, that is the chariot of mind is driving, modern mind. Now, what about the mental people on the mental platform, like the poets and the thinkers? Poets. How when I was young, we used to read William's Wordsworth. William's, what is his name? William's
Wordsworth.
All this daffodils. All this thinking, imagining something. Daffodils are coming. They are dancing in his own mental platform. Driving his own chariot, mental platform. Poets are very good, right? Even in the movies also we have, especially in Tamil Nadu and all that. The writer, the one who writes the lyrics, the cinema songs, how much he's paid more? Because all the people, they're suffering in the material world. They want some illusion. So the movies will be like that, very nice songs. I was like this and all that. And finally they pay the money and they'll come and afterwards again the suffering will start again. It's only that 2 hours, they can forget the suffering. Because the lyrics, the person who writes the lyrics, they write beautiful songs. They'll forget, this is the end story. I have felt this problem 2 years back, like that they'll think. And then, again suffering will start. Now, this is their, all these thinkers, poets, lyrics, writers, they're on the mental platform. What about the philosophers? Great philosophers. They are on the intellectual platform. I will produce a drug that will cure corona. UK has already started that, they say, but nothing is coming out. A clinical trial in the medical science, it will take about anywhere between 1 year. We have to try it, test it on animals. And the best person to test, or the best animal to test is bats. So they test, So this testing has to be done. This is known as clinical stages. Stages 1, 2 and 3. They have to be successfully implemented. And then only the drug can come on. So in this case, they already, you know, thinkers, I will produce a drug, you know, and make it another promising. They are riding their own chariot. So everyone is thinking, everyone is riding. If I have this, if I do this. So this is the nature of the Lord's illusory energy. So in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it says how a living, this is liberation from Lord's illusory energy. Very important chapter. In that it says, every living entity is under the grip, insurmountable grip of the mental energy. See? Insurmountable grip. It says that. You can go and refer that word. Srila Prabhupada uses that. Insurmountable grip. So one must act on the soul. There is no other way. If you act on the body, then it will cause problems. Okay? We are seeing little bit shortly what it's all about, you know? What is all about action, getting bound and all that. So we'll just solve this problem. The bottom line of the mental energy is none of us would be able, all these thinkers, right? We talked about the modern man. We talked about the poets, the mental people on the mental platform, and we also talked about the intellectual people. Now, all these persons cannot escape from the mental energy. Why? Because mental energy always wins. If there is a battle, you know, between the living entity and the mental energy. In that, the mental energy always wins. You cannot say, I won with the mental energy. Because at the end of the day, everyone has to
die.
Whatever I accumulate, I cannot take. Including the education also. I might be a PhD. But next birth, A for apple, B for ball. I have to learn. This is how it is. So therefore you cannot take anything. It's a failure. So one has to fail with the mental energy. This is how the system is created. The platform, the system is like that. One must lose the battle with the mental energy. And therefore, how do you win a battle? How do you win a battle? Think about it. We will talk it later. Right? So our life is given to win a battle, not to lose a battle. So, the question I'm going to ask now is, and pertaining to the purport, is what is the cause of getting a new body in the next life? Not many people know that. That's a question, right? Pachinya Bharat is asking. Why one gets, you know, how this is transferred basically? How one enjoys? In other words, the question can be reformed as how the next body is formed. How are you getting next body? If you say someone, you know, on the streets, they will not believe you. You get, hey man, you're getting the next body. Come on, I don't care. The next body. It is said that the next body is formed based on the action, your physical and your mental action that is leading to your next body. Of course, a series of things. We'll start one by one. We'll open the box one by one. Okay? It is because of the activities one does. Even 11th canto also substantiate this point. What does it say? Impelled by the own actions, a living entity takes birth after birth. 11.3.8. You can refer that. Impelled by one's own action, a living entity takes birth. See, no one is forcing. My birth is a reaction of my activities. Do everyone agree or no? It is not that someone else gave me this birth. My birth is determined by my own activities. Which is creating problems. Because material world means problem. I do an activity without knowledge and therefore I suffer. So the klesha, this is known as kleshas. In the material world, there will be suffering. The suffering can be classified as klesha. We are going to see the antidote, also the reason for suffering, klesha, how the klesha happens. The klesha happens, again, it's a little bit philosophical today, because we have to understand the point, and then you have two nice stories at the end to illustrate the point. Because if I give too much, or if we talk about too much philosophy, and there's no story, nothing will stick for me, not for you guys, for me. So, to illustrate this point, we'll have a very short two stories at the end, about karma, just about karma. So I'm opening the climax. So, three problems are, three reasons for the klesha suffering. The first problem is, any guess? Problem? Any guess? What's the reason? Three reasons for our suffering in the material world, which is stated in Padma Purana. It's not me, Padma Purana. Yes, Prabhu?
Adiyate. Is the reason?
That is mysteries, Prabhu. That's already integrated. It's a package. Like when you get a box, you know, when you get a gift, you know, they pack everything. So in the material world, it's a package. This is already packed. But we are analyzing why, what is the reasons. Say for example, I said, my body I got because of my own activities. Okay? If my activities would have been better, I would have got a better body, whatever maybe, etc. Because I did the activity which is only moderate, I got this body. For example. Okay. In that activities, I've done good, I've done bad. But I did not know. In my previous, now I know because of the grace of Srila Prabhupada. We have got this book. So I got this knowledge. But in the previous birth, I didn't know. So I've done some activities which is good. I've done some activities. I've been balanced. I got this body. Luckily, not an animal, not a dog body. Got a human body. We got it. So I didn't know. But for some reasons, I suffered in my past, for some reaction, for something I'm enjoying. For example, I would have done some good karma for which I came to Australia. I would have done some bad activities to someone else for which I lost a job, previous job. And then again I got a job, like that, you know. I don't know. So I'm doing something without knowledge, I'm suffering. Again I'm learning. But I don't have a big picture. So now we are seeing, as per the scripture, Padma Purana, why, what is the reason a person is suffering? There are three reasons given. The first reason is avidya. Avidya means ignorance. Ignorance means the moment you think that you are the body, suffering starts. This is a precarious situation, I tell you. 99.925% of the Kali Yuga population is under the bodily platform. Because in other yugas, people act on the soul. In Kali Yuga, only body, lipstick, eyeliner, this one, you know, shade, you know, all this. Only bodily platform. You go and say, medical shop, B complex is for your nerves. They'll never say soul. Right? Iron is for your, you know, well-being. Calcium is for your bones. B12 is for your, you know, overall thing. If you don't have B6, then you become tired. What is all? It's a knowledge about soul. Body. The moment, scriptures saying, I'm not saying, scriptures. The moment you think you are a body, finish. Your life is over. That's it. You're going to get animal bodies or whatever bodies. Avidya. Now, what is avidya do? For example, I come into the room, there is light, I can see everything. The moment Priya turns off the light, dark, I don't know where is my glasses. My Srila Prabhupada, Krishna, I don't know. Darkness. So, in the darkness, I will be going to do more problems. So, the moment you are in avidya, ignorance, the bodily platform, what happens is, you get material desires. Today, I am going to see a movie with my friends. I am going to a hotel and to the pub in the evening. Let's go, Prabhu. Right? Yes? You'll go? Yes. He says yes. You should say no. Prabhu, you should listen. You should say no. I don't want to go. This I'm giving an example for all the karmis, you know. Let's go. Because I'm acting on the bodily platform. So material desires are developing. Now what happens with the material desire? The moment you have a material desire, what does it happen? You are going to do sinful activities. Any material activity is sinful. Why? Again, Krishna describes, work done not as a sacrifice to Lord Vishnu causes bondage in this material world. Any work you do not as a sacrifice to Lord Vishnu, what does it do? Causes bondage. Material world. So, there are three reasons. Avidya, one, that leads to material desires, that leads to papa, sin, sinful activity for which you suffer. Sinful activity, suffering is an equation. And this sin has got two branches. Now, everyone could answer this question. Prabhu, the sin has got two divisions. What are they? Correct. Spot on. Parartha and aparartha. What is parartha? Little bit more we discuss a bit later. Parartha means a reaction, immediate manifesting. Or within the lifetime, you can say. Not immediate, within the lifetime. I go and steal. In next 10 years, I'll be caught. Within this lifetime. This is parartha. Aparartha means in the future lives. That again shows, the scripture shows that you're going to have more births. Future births. A typical man in Kali Yuga, he will have hundreds of births. A typical man. You see anyone go to the bank street and say, this guy, oh, minimum 100 births. I am not saying, because based on their activities. So imagine 100 more births are minimum, I'm saying. It could be even 1,000. And for devotees, what happened? When I started maybe the Krishna conscious movement, I had about 1,000 births, probably even more. Now, about 900 births, maybe there. Slowly it will come down. I hope we're doing devotion, so it will come down. Then slowly, you know, 5 and all that. And the last few births are very difficult. But they have to be very intense then, Krishna. So at least now I may have about 100 births or something. And it's coming down. It's coming down, for sure. Every day is coming down, literally. By the grace of the Lord. So this is how we have to learn this. So, now, parartha. We have discussed about sin. Sin you cannot avoid in the material world. So sin has got parartha, aparartha. Now aparartha is very complicated. We are going to understand it a little bit. Aparartha itself has got a cycle. Okay? We explain, see, this is an opportunity for us to learn. Because the topic is about karma and then we boiled it up to sin and all that. So it's a very good knowledge to know. Because if you don't know the negative side, you will not go to the positive side. So now we are dwelling on the negative side, just to know what it is. So this aparartha has got four cycles by itself, or four chain, or four what you call steps. The first one is aparartha, because it starts with that. And the second one is kutam. Kutam is the proclivity. The proclivity that is pushing desire to do. And that leads to kutam, again, desire or sin, sinful desire. And then that changes into parartha, reaction. You understand? See, unmanifest is going to become manifest through this cycle. Look at the process. We have got all the knowledge. An intelligent person is a one who knows that he is a soul and he acts for that. He is an intelligent person, not a person who goes to the Monash University and gets an MD, MBBS or MD. No, not at all. This is intelligence. Again, in a different way, an intelligent person is the one who is able to stop his cycle of birth and death. An intelligent person is not the one who goes and reads something and gets 120K. No, he is not. According to scriptures, one who is able to stop the cycle of birth and death, he is the most intelligent person. So, our scriptures is very rich. It gives you everything practically, you know. The only thing is, we have to apply and absorb. That's what we have to do. Okay? So again, I'm just debriefing. Our sin can be grouped into two types, our sinful desire. And how the sinful desire comes? Again, going back one step back, in the material world there is suffering. The suffering has got three reasons. One is avidya, leading to material desires, bijam, that is leading to papa, sin. Now the sin is branched into two types, parabdha, aparabdha. Parabdha means the sins which you have to get the reaction within this birth. Aparabdha means future births. Now we are seeing aparabdha side where it has runs into four steps, which is aparabdha. Second one is bhuta, proclivity. Third one is desire. And the fourth one is parabdha. When the parabdha is there, you get a reaction. Until the aparabdha becomes parabdha, the sin will, you will not suffer the reaction. So I may have a sin which is aparabdha, which will come after 5 births. So till 5 births I will not suffer. When I suffer, the aparabdha becomes parabdha. Then the suffering will be in that body. Understand this idea? We will discuss a very small example. A person is there. Due to his bad association, somehow he got and he becomes a thief due to bad effort. He steals something, computer, he starts with a small thing, a mobile phone and then a computer. Then slowly, you know, he's talking about stealing and other things. Somehow he ended up, he's destined in this life as a, he becomes a thief. He will have reaction, some of the reaction for parabdha karma. In this reaction, he come on, will hit him, you know, he will go to the prison, come out and all that. But still, major of his sins are still there because he's done a lot of stealing, robbing. Now that is known as aparabdha. In the next birth, so aparabdha, it starts with aparabdha, unmanifested. The sin is there, it's not manifested. For example, there is a seed which I have sown, but it is not coming out. A common example we give is, if you put some coriander seeds in the land, immediately within few days it comes. But for the coconut, if you want a coconut palm tree, you have to wait 10 or 20 years. The seed is still there. It has to fructify and it has to grow. It takes a lot of time. So like that, we have already, he has planted the seed because of the sinful life or the sinful action, but it is not manifesting. So this time, the next birth, when he is born, aparabdha is going to manifest into parabdha. We are seeing that example. When he is born, he develops an unmanifested proclivity without his knowledge, or unnoticed proclivity he has got, the ability to steal or to be dishonest. It starts with dishonesty. So in the young age only we talk lies and being dishonest. So this is known as proclivity. Then because of the dishonesty, he develops a desire to steal. And that it becomes a bijam, desire. And because there's a desire, he does some robbing, stealing, and that turns into parabdha. He is caught and he suffers. Is it clear? Okay. So first is aparabdha. He is put into that form or the human form, which again based on nature, nurture, culture. That we'll talk later. We don't want to bring too many things. Okay. The person is put into a particular environment based on his nature, nurture and culture. So once he's put there, he develops an unnoticed proclivity to steal. I want to steal. I want to tell lies. He tells lies and all that. And based on that, the proclivity, he develops a desire to steal. And that becomes a bijam, a desire. And the desire is converted into an action. He goes and really steals, for which the police catch him, or some other reaction, which will manifest in that birth. So, aparabdha will become prarabdha and it will manifest in that birth. So, this is the... Okay. We talked about this klesha, isn't it? All the klesha suffering, we've seen the factors and all, leading into parabdha, all the sins and all that. Now the klesha, main kleshas are 3 in number. the suffering, which is a package we discussed. That package is Adi Bhautik, Adi Atmik, Adi Devi. How do you counteract these three ones, Adi Bhautik, Adi Atmik, Adi Devi? Again, it's said in the scriptures. See, Adi Bhautik means trouble caused by other living entities. How do you stop that? By giving more charity. Charity. If you are a preacher, if you are a charity, give Krishna conscious or money, help others. If you do a lot of charity, then troubles from other living entity will be relatively come down. Then, Adi Bhautik, that is Adi Atmik, I am troubling with my own mind and senses. For that, what is the recommended process? Austerity. You have to do austerity for your body. Then your own mind and the senses will be okay. Adi Daivik, trouble caused by other living entities. So much of Srila Prabhupada already mentioned. Because of the sinful activities, we get calamities like war, tsunami and all that. How it's the action of a demigod. How do you stop that? Yeah. There is a process. By sacrifice, yajna. Not pleasing the demigod, but pleasing the Lord of the Lords, Krishna. Which is the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, which is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So, sacrifice if you do yajna, you can please a demigod. Our sacrifice is Hare Krishna mantra. So therefore, demigods will not trouble you. See the move. What a process we have got knowledge. And then, other people are troubling you. So what you do? You give more charity. In the form of whatever you want, the highest charity is Krishna conscious again. Then other people will not trouble you if you are nice. Then your own body and mind is causing trouble. What do? You do austerity. Mind control, celibacy, these are all austerities. Tapasya, more rounds, eating less. These are all the austerity for the body. Then if you do that, you automatically, your mind and your senses will not trouble you. And Krishna conscious, everything is already included, package. So if you are a Krishna conscious devotee, under Srila Prabhupada movement, everything tick, 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 tick. And then Krishna says, come back. There's no negative at all. This is a process by itself. Okay. Now, we are little bit visiting the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. In the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Parikshit Maharaj is asking a question to Sukadeva Goswami. He's saying, you have given me an overall picture of the hellish planet in the fifth canto. Now I'm feeling bad for you. The fifth canto end, all the hellish planet, people, if you do like this, you'll suffer, your eyes will go away, they will have the suffering and all that. Now I'm feeling sorry for them. How can you tell me a process where people will not suffer? They will not go to the hellish planet. Then Sukadeva Goswami explains this process. How? First he talks about atonement, prayachitta. Prayachitta is like in the karmakanda activities, even in the case of Prachinyanda, he did lot of killing of the animals, but he has to suffer reaction. But there is a process known as atonement of prayachitta where it's again a material activity. That one material activity almost cancels another. But in fact it's not. It's almost like that. But again they will do it. They again do it. Prayachitta or atonement. For which Sukadeva Goswami is giving a very good example. He's saying elephants, they take bath. Again they go and put a dirt. So this is like the prayachitta is like elephant putting dirt. It will take bath again dirt. Take bath dirt. So that is no good. It's discussed in the first chapter of the sixth canto. Then Parikshit Maharaj is still not happy. Prayachitta, what's the next step? Then Sukadeva Goswami was talking about knowledge. See, once you have, we discussed about knowledge now. Once you have a knowledge that you are a spirit soul, you will do less sins. Your troubles will be less because your sins are less. But again, this knowledge is not good because the desire is still there to enjoy. Knowledge, mere knowledge is not enough because the desire to enjoy is still there. And therefore, the speculative knowledge is also not good. Because I have a good knowledge now, we all discuss about Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. After 2 hours, if I go into the speech, you know, I may be drifting. I don't know. Because knowledge is still not good. You have it. Because the desire is very strong. So therefore, finally, Sukadeva Goswami says that only by doing bhakti, devotional service, the desire will be uprooted. Like, he gives the example of a bamboo, like a bamboo tree. You know the bamboo tree, it will go very, very, very tall. Huh? And also the roots are also equally, you know, going beneath. Sometimes, you know, people cut the bamboo tree and take it, but the roots are still there, it will again grow. This is the roots are like a deep-rooted desire. So this root can be taken out only by the process of bhakti to Vasudeva Krishna. And therefore, he cites an example of Ajamila, that how Ajamila was very sinful. He has done all atrocities on earth. But by chanting, doing bhakti, devotion service to Krishna, without his knowledge also, but still the name is very potent. By chanting the Lord's name, his whole sins was eradicated. This is how powerful is the chanting of holy name, which is a yuga dharma of this age. So bhakti is the process to eradicate all sins. So finally, coming back, okay, we will discuss or we'll talk about 2 stories about karma, which will illustrate the problem. Now, karma is a very, very complex scenario. It's not easy to explain. Even in the Mahabharata also, it is said that when, just to understand how complex karma is, after Mahabharata war, Dhritarashtra and Gandhara, both of them, they asked Krishna, Krishna, why do we have to lose 100 sons? At least once you would have left. No, you could have done that. You're very powerful. What's the reason? Then Krishna says, yeah, that's because of your reaction in the past life. 100 lives back, you have to suffer, you know, reaction which you have done. But in other words, he said, your reaction, you have to suffer for 100 years. And that is why, you know, it has happened something, but it took 100 years for you, and then the reaction has come now. Then they said, can you please tell us what it is? He said, 50 years back, you know, you happened to kill the birds, you know, lot of birds.
50 lifetime back.
Oh, there is the point there. 50 lifetime back, you killed, you know, lot of birds, along with the, you know, along with the family. Of you killed about 100, and therefore 100 sons have to die. Okay? Now, a question was raised back to Krishna. Then you said 50 years, but why do you have to suffer for 100 years? You should get a reaction, no? So for them, the answer was that 50 years back you did a karma, but it took another 50 years for you to get the punya, to get 100 sons. To get sons is a pious activity. To get a child is a pious activity. So you have to do a pious activity to get something good. So 50 years is a reaction, another 50 years for to get the piety. And therefore, you know, you have to wait 100 years for this one to happen. So, the point is, it's so complex to understand. One may ask so many questions, why is that, why is that? But the point is, it's a complex reaction. Karma is very complex to explain. That is why I selected these 2 stories, you know, which illustrate what it is. So karma, unknown or known? That is what we are going to see. The karma reactions, are we getting? Is it known or it is unknown? Okay? The known karma or unknown karma? So first, we are talking about unknown karma. Once there was a king. A king is very charitable in nature. He used to give lot of prasadam, cook and give it to Brahmins those days. It's a charity. At one such incident, when he was giving the food, it was done in a very open area. You know, like sometimes we also cook the open area for Janmashtami and things like that, because we need to feed a lot of people. So he called a lot of people and it was done in an open area, cooking. Okay, Prabhu? You're following, Prabhu?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just saying, I'll follow. So he was cooking in the open area. Alright? Now, what happened was, when he was cooking, there was an eagle, okay, carrying a snake. An eagle had a snake very tightly, you know, in the claws. You know, the eagle has caught the claws, it has caught a snake. And the snake is struggling to come out. But the snake has got a defense mechanism. What is the defense mechanism of snake? Poison to bite. So, it was trying, through the travel, the eagle is taking the snake and it's traveling. It's flying over. During that time, the snake is trying very hard to, you know, inject the poison onto the snake is trying very hard to inject the poison onto the eagle so that, you know, it can be free from that attack. But during that time, when it was doing, some of the poison was spitting out. Some of the poison was coming out. But as you see, the king's servants were cooking, the poison fell in few of the pots. Snake's poison. Observe the story. Snake's poison fell. And then the eagle flew over it, the top, and it went away. Later on, the king's servant did not know that there was a poison on the in the pot. They're ignorant. It's not that mistake. So they did the cooking, they offered prasada. Khichdi. Everyone was given khichdi. So we have to check them today. Khichdi was given. So all ate the khichdi, brahmanas. And most of the brahmanas died. Where were the poison contamination, they died. The king came to know, but he did not know what's the reason. He was feeling very bad, and the king has earned a very bad name. King has earned a bad name because, see, from the point of view, the king wanted to do a charity. He did a good thought. He had a good thought he wanted to do. The cooks also listened to the king and the cook. The eagle was carried, and the eagle's prey food is snake. The snake wants to defend, so it was trying its best and the poison fell. Now, this was taken to Yamaraj. Yamaraj was confused. He was taking an Apple computer. He did not give conclusion. He used a supercomputer? No. Then guess what he did? He called Bill Gates. Come on, I need a help. My computer is all, you know, not working. I want supercomputer. Then, still it did not work. So, Yamaraj was really confused and, you know, whom can I put? Snake? No. Eagle? No. Servants? No. King? No. Because they are all innocent according to me. I cannot, if I am not convinced, how can I put karma on them? So, he is really confused. He said, put it on hold. I cannot decide. What can you do? Put it on hold. Let us see. Then a few months have passed away. Judgment reserved. Few months have passed away, and then there was one more brahmana coming. He asked one lady, I came to know that this king here is very charitable. He gives a lot of prasadam, nice food. I've been starving. You know, I thought I will take the king's help and take prasadam. You know this lady, what she said? Oh, that king, he will call the brahmanas, he will feed them and he will kill them. See? It is a mistake, isn't it, Anupad? The king was not doing that. He said, she said, he will call all the brahmanas, feed, kill them. Do you want to go and get killed by the king? She said. Immediately Yamaraj said, put all the karma onto this girl, lady. Because she, none of them, they are all innocent. But this lady is putting karma as if she knows. So she gets the karma. Listen, this is a point to note.
This lady, technically she did not do any karma, isn't it? She did not put the poison. But killing so many brahmanas, 50 or 100 brahmanas has come to that lady. Why? Is there any answer for that? That is what Amaraj decided. So it is, in this case, the karma is unknown, correct? We agree with that. In fact, technically the lady did not do, but the karma is transferred to the lady. So unknown karma, but mind you, she has to suffer for the karma. The sinful activity. Because she has killed 50 to 100 brahmanas. So she has to suffer. That is what Amaraj has decided, ultimate authority. This is one part. Now, known karma we will see. So, just to understand how difficult is karma to understand. Known karma. Once there was a yogi. You can say a Buddhist yogi. He was top on the Himalayas meditating. Very nice yogi meditating. And because of his meditation, he developed extraordinary powers. He can predict things. He can see a little bit of a future ahead. Because of his austerity, you know, constant, you know, devotion and austerity. He had a young disciple. Very young disciple. This yogi is an elderly person. He had a young disciple, a very nice disciple, working, assisting him. Sometimes the yogi goes on a meditation for 1 to 2 days, like that, very strong. And then he will see the, you know, the future problems, and then accordingly, he will warn the people. He will warn people, this is a problem and all that. Yeah, I'll be finishing up very quickly. Yeah.
They're saying they can't hear the audio. Is the mic on?
No, I just
don't know. So, one point. Still one point. Until one point it has
to go. Audio is on.
2 minutes ago, then.
Okay. So, so the yogi was there. The yogi has got an elderly yogi. He is a very powerful yogi. He goes on meditation. He has got a young disciple. Now this yogi goes on meditation for one to two days. And during the time he is very powerful. He is able to predict the future. And he will go to the nearby villages and warn them. See, this is the problem you are going to get. Because he is very, very powerful. And the villagers also took his help to understand the problems, and it was going on. Now, one such day, when he was doing a very deep meditation, he could see, he felt something. He saw that his disciple is going to pass away in 7 days. His own disciple. Then afterwards the meditation, he broke the meditation and then he was feeling sad. See, whatever may be, his own disciple is helping him, he's a young person. So he felt a little bit sad. And then he thought, he was thinking and thinking, and then he called the disciple and he said, okay, now listen carefully, my instruction. He said, yes, Guruji, I'll do that. I want you to go to your hometown. Spend time with your family members, your parents and all that. Do as much as help as possible. Whatever help you can do, be a good person. And then come back to me on the 6th day. Very important. 7th day you have to be there. Because that's a purpose. He did not say you are going to die. So this person, this young person, a young yogi, he left. After 6 days over, he came on the 6th day. Yeah? 7th day, yogi did not say anything. This is a very critical day. The disciple is going to die. On the 7th day, he was seriously meditating. And in that meditation, he saw that the lifespan of this particular young yogi is expanded. He doesn't die on the 7th day. He's expanded to another 20, 30 years. This yogi was confused. But anyway, he was happy internally. Say, I don't want him to die. So, let me find out for my understanding what he did. So, he called the young person, young yogi, and he said, can you please tell me what all the things you did in the last 6 days after I told you to go and see your parents? Then he said, yeah, I went because I was at the top of the hill. I came down, I spent some time, I went to my family members in the town. I was staying there, I was helping all my, you know, my family members, especially my father and mother. I was serving them. And whoever wanted any help, for example, they want the water, I gave them. Someone did not have food, I gave them. So in the, all the 6 days, I helped them. Then the yogi was thinking, he should have saved some life. Because based on karma, if you save another person's life, your life gets extended. Like there is some parameters, okay? I am just speculating at this point. So he may be thinking, he was thinking, but there is something else he has done. I want to know what it is. Because this is all this punya activities. But he has done something very great. That is why his lifespan is pushed out. Again he started asking, please think and tell me. You have done something, you know. Just think again and tell me. So this person went, he thought for a while, and then he came back to the yogi. Yes, now I remember. He said, what is that? He said, on the day you told me that you have to be very careful with all the persons, everyone, you have to do a lot of help, I remembered this point. And as I was coming down, there was a river pond, a reservoir of water. And then I was thought I relaxed for some time. I was relaxing. And then as I was relaxing, my eyes went around and I saw an anthill. Anthill. In that anthill, there were millions of ants going across. It was like a big house for them, you know, millions of ants. And then as I was observing, I could see that the water level, the reservoir was gradually going up, coming up. Then I was thinking, then I realized this, 2 days back it was raining, you know, it is a mountain. You rain, you know, and then slowly the water will come and little bit it increases, the reservoir. Small reservoir of water, but slowly it was increasing. Then as I was observing, I really, that the instruction which you gave me, you must be kind to others, you must help me others, it came to my mind because of the instruction. And then I was noticing the water was also slowly, gradually going up. Then I thought, if I go and come 6 days after, definitely the waters would have gone up. And I was thinking, what will happen? I have to follow the instructions of my guru. He has told me like this. How can I help them? I was thinking and thinking. And then I thought, I devised a plan. Then I took some, you know, some whatever branches and wood and all that. I made two ways such that even if the water comes, it goes on the either side and it will go away. And then I built a small, you know, a cover for them, for the millions of ants. And then, on my way up, when I came, I saw the handle and nothing happened. The water came, of course, it came up and it went on either side. But the anthill was still there. I was very happy when I came up and then I saw you, Guruji. This is what happened. So, the Guru was thinking, doesn't matter. An animal, or a human, or an ant, they are all the part of Krishna. They are all living entities. He has served, he has really helped to, you know, save millions of ants. Because of that compassion, the Lord has prolonged this. This is a very unique example. So therefore, this is a no karma. So the Guru came to know, yes, that means if you save another person's life, your life will also be saved. So based on that, he understood that. So therefore in our discussion, yeah, we discussed two things, right? Unknown and known. So unknown karma, we don't know. So we have to be very careful. And known karma, if you do something nice, you have a good reaction. So the point is that karma is very, very complex. That's what we elicit in these two stories. Okay. Alright. So we stop here. There's any quick questions, comments, prayer, anything? Any questions, comments, corrections? Gantara Srimad Bhagavatam. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada.